first time thrill you with this realization that before time ever was created, you were on God's mind. You were on God's mind. Would you pray with me right now, Father, from front to back and left to right? Would you speak to hearts? I pray, God, that you would just work in us, that you would use us, that you would move in our lives. Father, just help us, I pray. And Lord, sometimes we encounter something that we don't are not familiar with. We just pass it off. And Lord, forgive us the intellectual snobbery. Instead, help us see the great riches that are here. And oh, how I pray you'd help us right now. Father, I love you and I need you. And Lord, if there are those that are here who don't know you as their Savior, who've never repented of their sins, put their faith and trust in you, I pray that this morning would be the time of their decision. That this morning they would respond to you drawing them to yourself. Oh, how I pray you would do that in our lives. So, Father, help me. Focus my attention like a laser. Help me to stay on the text. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified this morning. I pray all this in your Son's precious in holy name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Being chosen by God. Being chosen by God. I'm so excited about what we're doing. We're going to break this up in a few sections here, these sets of verses, maybe three, maybe four, but I want to not only take my time with it, but I want to help you. I love a good buffet, and I know not that many of them because of the COVID restrictions. Anybody here remember a great buffet? Food. Am I saying that wrong? Anybody remember? Okay. A few of you? All right. So how many of you are anti-buffet? My wife, who just walked down the hall, is anti-buffet. Okay, a few of you. She's like, if I'm first in line, it's okay. But I don't want what everybody else has gone. Oh, it looks pretty good. And y'all pray for me because I had to live with that. And so we're here. But I like it. Now I'll do anything except the sticky floor. If I'm at a buffet and I'm going click, click, I'm done. I don't know what it is about it, but the noise, the sound, the smell, I don't know what it is, but I'm out. I don't care if they got ribeyes on the buffet. I'm more than likely heading to Bojangles or something like that. But we're here. But you ever been to the buffet where it's so much stuff and you're like, what am I going to do? We were traveling a few years back and we were out of town and we did what everybody does. We Googled food near me and it was a 5-star, 400 rated Chinese buffet. And we got in there and it was full salad bar and it was four rows of food and a row of desserts, and then they had the dude back there cooking, the hibachi man. And he's back there doing, and he's banging around, and I'm going, man, I have just died and gone to buffet heaven. And it was one of those one-price deals, and man, and we ate, and I felt gypped because I had one plate and so much food. I had one belly. And so much there. And I thought, man, maybe we just hang out. Maybe I can squeeze lunch and supper. And it was incredible. And it's something sometimes with us, you know, we feel like, you know, if you're traveling, you're on vacation, you feel like you're hungrier or you can do better or whatever. I don't know, but we're doing it. And so when we walk through these 11 verses here and just three of them today, I want you to get that in your head. Hey, this is it, man. We are doing it. But we got one plate. The mind can't absorb what the seat can endure. And so we're going to cover a lot of them, hit the high spots. But I know immediately we're going to leave a few things out. And so with that being said, I do want to pick some of those choice morsels and really help us out here. We mentioned a few things. Again, if you grabbed a copy of the notes and all, and some of you got some of the coloring sheets and stuff like that, I hope you're enjoying that and the crayons and all. When we do this, remember, we've got these great things. We've got the great thing about who God is. He starts off in verses 1 and 2 with God himself and all his glory. We talk about his grace and talk about the peace of God. We mention that. And if you haven't watched that or listened to that, the podcast, I hope you will. Because our world needs both fists full of grace and peace. And you can't have peace unless you have experienced God's grace. The world's upside down and tumbly-turvy, and people are crazy, and they've been crazy, they've been sinful, and they've been awful. And you say, well, my peace is dependent on other people not doing something. Well, that's no peace. That's just a cessation of nuttiness or cessation of sin. That's not going to hold. I need an anchor, and that anchor's got to be in the grace of God. And then he gives me his arena, his shalom, his peace. We're talking about the church of God. We're going to really unpack. What does it mean to be a church? And he gives us a little tip off there. He says it's the saints of God and the faithful of God, and it's the ones who are in Christ. It's really inclusive, but it's really exclusive. I've almost stopped using the word Christian because it doesn't mean a thing in the South. It doesn't mean beans. I've started using follower of Christ or disciple of Christ. If I was real biblical, I'd say, are you a saint? And they go, no, neither are you. Well, the Bible says that those who have followed him by faith, they've become saints. They've become holy ones, separated, set apart to God. That God has changed my nature and is even now giving me exactly what I need to be able to please him. He describes it as being faithful, being faithful. How many of you at your workplace, you just love to work with faithful people? Count on them, dependable. Anybody? A few of you? Two or three of you? How many of you like being considered faithful? You can trust me. You can count on me. My word's my bond. Man, we've developed an army of lawyers because nobody can do what they said they're going to do, right? A handshake doesn't mean anything anymore. He says, you're this. He says, but the inclusivity is that you're in Christ. All roads lead to heaven. No, broad is the path that leads to destruction. All roads, many roads, lead to an eternity in a place called hell. It is the narrow road. It's in Christ. It's not what I think. It's not Christ of my own making. It's not a Jesus that I've kind of assumed upon. It is what the Bible says about him. And so he limits all that down, and he gets us here. God's grace is greater than my past. It is sufficient for my present, and it is extended out into eternity. You can absolutely never exhaust the riches and resources of God's grace. So those first two verses, man, they're just loaded. Man, it's so helpful. And again, if you hadn't had a chance, and if you're struggling with peace right now, I just encourage you, go back and listen to those resources. You can find them on our social media, our website. We ended last time with a familiar song to a few of you. When peace like the river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say it is well. It is well with my soul. And those are the notes coming out of verse 2 that take us into verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. These 3.5 or so verses here. And I offer to you that we're into what we call a blessing song. A baraka is what it would translate to, almost like a Rebecca. And we're going to walk through it. If for those of you who are going to take a nap for a second, I'll go ahead and give you the Cliff's Notes here. You have been blessed by God if you're a follower of his. You've been blessed by God if you're a follower of his. Here's the things he's going. He's going to say you've been chosen by God. You've been changed by God. You've been adopted by God. And all for the praise of God. All for the praise of God. Now, if I thought we could just apply those quickly, I'd just be done. And several of you would have a heart attack because I'm known for being a teensy bit long-winded. But this is it. This is the survey. This is the overview that is here. And let me pause. See, the problem is we don't exactly know what some of that means. Not a problem. That's part of what we get to do here and get to do as we go through the Bible. Hosea said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This has always been the problem with God's people. It's always been the problem with God's church. Man, we just don't know. We don't know, and we struggle. We struggle here. And a lack of knowledge has been the thing. We're good at idolatry. Anybody in here really good at idolatry? Worship a dollar bill, worship a boat, worship a this, worship a that, you know, in love with the person in the mirror. We can figure out a way to make idols out of just about anything, right? I've joked and said if aliens were real and they came to the earth and they came to the U.S., they'd be walking around going, I don't know who that God is, but it's mighty impressive. He glows green And everybody's staring at them all the time. Wouldn't you think that? You know, everybody's staring at their phones and their devices, things like that. We will mess it up all the time and every time. So what he's going to do is he's going to walk us through the persons of the Godhead, the person of the Godhead. Verse 3, 4, 5, start of verse 6, he's going to talk about God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. verses 6, the second part of it, up through verse 12, he's going to focus on Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity. And then the last verses, 12, 13, and 14, he's going to focus on the Spirit of God, or what we call the Holy Spirit. If you grew up, depending on where you grew up, you might say the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, or the second or third person of the Trinity. So we're going to look at all three persons of the Trinity, not today, but as we go through this. And we're going to figure out how this interacts. How am I blessed by God the Father? How have I been blessed by Jesus Christ? How have I been blessed by the Spirit of God? Now, time out, just for a second. I won't ask you to raise your hands, because only three of you are still with me. But I won't ask you to raise your hand. But we think a lot about Jesus Christ, most of us, right? And we think occasionally about God the Father. Usually when we say the Lord's Prayer, we go, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But we almost exclusively don't think about the Spirit of God. Again, depending on how you grew up, that was either, you know, really, really out of bounds. You know, people who were into the Holy Spirit, you know, they did some things that were kind of odd to you. Or you don't have anything, you know, well, if I was really this, really that, if I was really spiritual. And so I want to take away all that mystique and kind of just walk through what does the Bible say. We are starting in verse 3 in the throne room of God, and we're going to see the greatness and the vastness of the Godhead and explore these blessings. We need to know what we don't know, and we need to capitalize on what God has given to us, because he just said you got grace and peace. And let me just explain what those blessings are. That leads us to verse 3. Just two ideas this morning. Number one, you are made for praise. You are made for praise. You are created for praise. Now, some of you, and again, I tried to be short with this, but I thought about it. Maybe I need to put an explanation there, because all the teenagers are here going, "See, I was made to be praised." That's not what I said. I didn't say you were made to be praised. I said you were made to praise. You're made to praise. God created you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet to praise him. To praise him, to praise God. Say, help me a little bit here. Go to verse 3 if you would. As soon as you get there, kind of blink at me. Verse 3, I think I've got it printed in your sheets and all. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed, same word, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We were made for praise. Praise has an object of worship. That worship here is God the Father, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first person of the Trinity. And our hearts, in response to his blessing, should have an autonomic response. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. It's a word there, again, if we put on our x-ray glasses, we get our word eulogy. To lift up, to exalt, to magnify. The proper response to God calling us and to God saving us and changing us in verse 1, to the grace and the peace that he's given us in verse 2, and all that we're going to read in the next 14 verses over the next several weeks is thank you, God, praise you, God. Let me ask you, how you doing there? Some of you going, I was made to grumble. I was made to complain. I was made to... Anybody hear that just drives you crazy, even when it comes out of your own mouth? Is there anything worse than the exasperated sigh, followed by the eye roll, followed by the I reckon, the grumble humble? Anybody? Everybody here lives right except for me then, okay. And we're here, and to praise him. This is what I was meant to do. This is what I was made to do. This is what God has gifted me and blessed me to do. You are made for praise. You were made to praise the Father. You were made to praise the Son. You were made to praise the Spirit of God. You were made to praise Him. Say, help me out with that. Again, I won't take the time to look through all the verses here. But again, I am to do that. He mentions two of them in verse number three. You skip all the way down. Excuse me. Cease not to give thanks for you. Verse 16, making mention of you in my prayers. Again, he encaptures all of that. Man, I'm to do that. I'm to be Trinitarian. There's a big word in my worship. I'm to be conscious of the Godhead in my worship. I'm to be thankful for him. Again, we're just usually all about us. Yeah, I had a good day. Thank you, Lord. No, it's not how good or bad a day I had. It's how good a God he is. See, I praise him because of who he is and because of what he has done and what he is doing. And I get to magnify him because he has blessed me. And the response I ought to have is, thank you, God. Bless you, God. Praise you, God. Let me help you. You ever gotten stuck with a bad attitude? Anybody in here? I won't look. Let me rephrase. Anybody in here, you ever known anybody with a bad attitude? Some of you like pointing. Others of you are going to have to move your seat. It's tough, isn't it? You ever been so miserable you just about can't stand yourself? I'm just going to go to sleep because I just don't even want to be around me. Just like three of you. All right. Y'all just tell me your secret as you leave today. When we're attitudinally wrong, and then let's do this. Why don't we pop some popcorn? Why don't we go for a walk? Why don't we go exercise for a little while? Hey, I made some cookies. Maybe that'll make us feel better. And we're constantly trying to find a way to find the equilibrium because we can't stand the way we're doing. Anybody nod, grunt, wink, blink, grab your ear? Okay. The natural response when I understand who God is and what he's done is to thank him and to praise him and to go from there. I've been made to praise him. One writer said it like this. Look at it. You and I, miserable worms in the world, miserable in our arrogance, miserable in our pride, miserable in our ignorance and our arrogance. We deserve to be blotted off the face of the earth. But what has happened is that God chose us before the foundation of the world. He in the Godhead, these three blessed persons, looked at us in our state, considered the end of our condition, and said, we will send one of us to leave glory for a while, be born of a woman who was a virgin, and I will become a pauper, and I will suffer insult. I'll let them nail me to a cross. And Jesus volunteered to do all that. And at this moment is seated at the right hand of the Father. He came. He did all of that for you and for me. Say, all this stuff you said doesn't interest me. I don't know how it doesn't thrill you. Praise him. Weirdest job in the church. Weirdest job in the church is to be a musician. One of the weirdest jobs. The other is to be a custodian. Find all the piles of fingernail clippings. People leave in the church and stuff like that. That's a weird job. So, and yesterday where I was sitting, there was a graveyard of a manicure in front of me. So I didn't show it to my wife because she would have hurled right on the floor. And I mentioned it because she's out of the room. And so weird job. But to sing and go, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And people going, looking at you like a cartoon character. And, it's weird. We ought to be the most natural people here. It's crazy. If I start singing good old Rocky Top, some of you start humming, you'll have that earworm the rest of your day. I can do you better than college football. Let me introduce you to the God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You were made for praise. How are you doing here? How are you doing? He said, blessed be God our Father, verse 3, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's not talking about material versus immaterial. Anybody, you have these people in your life? Hey, man, my tire's blown and I need $20. And they go, well, let me pray for you. Is it just me? Again, I need better friends. And, man, I need a ride to the doctor. Let me just pray for you. Pray for me while you drive me to the doctor. You know, thank you. Man, I'm hungry. Well, it'll be good for you to lose some pounds. Again, I don't need friends like you. I need to go get me some food. What are you talking about here? He's not saying, he's blessed with all spiritual blessings. He's not saying good thoughts. He's simply talking about the source of things. In the reality that is what we would call heaven, that realm of God's express presence, he has blessed you, and you have the very bank of heaven, which you will never exhaust pouring it out. And your only natural response is, thank you, God. Bless you, God. Praise you, God. It ought to be natural. If your radio station and your podcast are all full of junk and baloney, if it's all tear in your beer, or if it's all WAP and all those kind of things, I'm telling you, you'll find you a good Christian station and listen to good godly music that helps prime the pump of thank you, God. Praise you, God. Bless you, God. That ought to be what's going on. You start the day off in the Word. Read a verse or two. Read a verse to each other. Those of you that are married, hold hands and pray and start the day off. And I think one of the best prayers to ever start a morning is, thank you, God. Bless you, God. Help me to praise you today, God. Why? Because you were made for praise. You were made for praise. You were made for praise. You were chosen by Him. You were chosen by Him. If you're a child of His, you were, excuse me, you were chosen by God. The idea of God choosing a people to display His glory is not new. The Bible is a book about God picking and using people in nations to do things. He chose Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, to bring blessing, one to many. He chose the nation of Israel. They would be a light to the nations. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. Isaiah 42, that great chapter. He chose His 12 disciples, that out of those few, that they would go out, bear fruit, and multiply. John 15, verse 16. Here in other places, we see God using individuals and God choosing a few to bless the many. We say it differently. We say in America, we put it on some of our money, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. Biblical idea is different. Out of one or a few, many. One Savior to save the whole world. One nation, Israel, so that all might be grafted in. He's already established that. He says us, the Jew, the Gentile. Ephesus had a real problem. You still with me? Say amen. Ephesus had a real problem. It was a city of might. Warriors, industry. They knew it. Is a city of magic. Jewish people acted as exorcists trying to cleanse the demons of the spirit world. They have found magical papyri with spells and recitations. When the silversmith in Acts 15, when they said, look, everybody's coming to Christ, this is going to be a problem because we're going to lose money. Part of it was they were selling these scrolls and things. They were selling these fix you up kind of deals. There was huge amount of demonic activity. It was a place of the Temple of Artemis or Diana. This was such a big deal. They would take orphan girls who were not wanted by parents, or they would kidnap them, and they would force them into prostitution. Not unlike the sex slave trade we have today throughout many parts of the world. It was a city of a mess. When Paul says, you are saints, and you are holy, and you are chosen by God, and he throws that pregnant word us in there, there's some tears in people's eyes. Because not many months ago, they were in a mess, and they were in sin, and they were enslaved, and they thought there was nothing about life worth living, and God changes their life, and now he's writing to them, and he says, I want you to know, as I said earlier, before time was ever created, you were on God's mind. God chose you. God chose you. It's an amazing thought. Amazing thought. You say, well, preacher, you know, that word predestination and choosing, verse 3, verse 5, those are tricky words. Those are tricky words. Say, what do you mean? there's a, you know, my, I got my study Bible open here. My study Bible got like 19 notes here. And, you know, in a church we went to, you know, another state or somewhere, and they said it means this and it means that. And some of you going, well, you know, this is reprobation. Especially some of you maybe grew up in a Catholic background. Reprobation, you know, there's some people, man, they can't trust Christ. They have no hope. God didn't die for them. They don't know what to do with John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should have everlasting life, should never perish and have everlasting. I don't know what to do with the whosoever's, but it can't mean that. And let me give you a little time out. I'm going to do this very quickly. I've had it in emails. I've had it in text messages. I had a dear sweet man look across the table from me eating lunch. Basically said to me, Brother Rodney, you seem to be smart. Is there anything ever good come after a sentence like that, by the way? You seem to be smart. Why aren't you? And they gave a theological label. And I go, man, it's not that I don't understand it. I just don't think the Bible teaches it. And I offer it to you here. And again, I won't dwell there. If you want to tell me about a system, that's fine. You want to talk about systems. I taught theological systems 10 years, taught it a couple of times in other countries. I think I can talk to you about it. I'm good. But if you want to talk to me about the Bible, we're going to stay in the Bible. Nod your head if you're with me here. We're Bible church. We're what the Bible says. I get ex cathedra and I get ex theologia, but I don't. What I don't get is the ex systemica. Again, I'm not. You know, that's a good way of looking at it, but I don't think it's a biblical way to look at it. So again, I'm not being ugly. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying. Why do we say that God is calling and men have a responsibility? Why are we saying that you must respond in faith? Why are we saying those kind of things? Isn't it just easier to say, what does the Bible say? The word predestination, there's two words, prohorizo, basically we get the word, same word we get the word horizon or something for. There's six occasions in the Bible where this word is used. And again, so, and I've got them listed out for you. This is a little bit of technical notes, but I just want you to, have confidence that you go to a church that teaches and preaches the Bible. You with me? Again, it's not that I don't understand it. It's not that these are bad brothers. It's just in the text we're going to deal with. You go to letter A there again. It's number one, having predestinated adoption of children. If this is talking about what? Those who have been saved, this is God's plan for them. You can't shoehorn anything in there any other way. They got to be saved first. This is my desire for them, that they would do this. Go to letter B there. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Romans 8:29-30. Moreover, whom he predestinated, he called them, he called, he justified them, he justified, he glorified. Again, you're talking about someone who's already been saved. Letter C, Acts 4:28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel prohorizo determined beforehand. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Letter D, Ephesians 1:11. In whom we've attained inheritance, being predestinated, the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. It just says God does what God wants to do. We already knew that. Letter E, 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak of the mystery of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Again, nothing at all about salvation. When you say God has chosen some to be saved and some to be damned, and there's nothing you can do about it, and it doesn't really matter, and there's nothing on your part, again, you start adding to the Bible in such a way you can't back up with the Bible. Amen. And I love those brothers, and I'm glad for them. And most of them are really inconsistent, which is fine. But don't tell me I'm the inconsistent one when I give you every reference to that idea in the Bible. Every reference. And if you see something there, again, I'll change. I really will. But I've run it down. I have about 30 Greek dictionaries. I have books that go back to the papyri day or to the church father day. I've run this down. I promise you I've exhausted myself over this. And I come back to the fact that God has said, whosoever believes in him will not be ashamed. Whosoever calls upon me shall be saved. I believe the Bible teaches that men and women, when confronted with the truth of God, drawn by the Spirit of God, get to say yes or no, and then they are accountable for that decision. They are responsible to God. and they will stand in judgment one day with what have they done with Jesus Christ. The plain teaching of the Bible. Plain teaching of the Bible. And I'll be glad to have coffee with you. I'm not mad or anything about it. It's just in the text. And we ought to deal with the text. Amen. I'll deal with the scripture. We've been made for His glory. We've been chosen by God. Chosen by God. We've been chosen. And there's three ideas here. We've been chosen to be holy. That you would be holy and blameless before Him in love. God saved you to change your life. You don't have to stay like you are. You don't have to have the potty mouth. You don't have to stay in your adultery. You don't have to stay in your sexual sin. You don't have to stay in all the mess that's there. You don't have to stay in slavery and bondage. God, before eternity began, with you on His mind, said, when I save somebody, I'm going to save them and change them. Man, you don't have to stay the way you are. That's one of the reasons we wanted so many of you to get involved and continue. Again, we try and pair them up one-to-one kind of a thing. Just to be reminded of some of these basic truths that sometimes we don't know. And be reminded and be thrilled again with what God has done. He has saved you to change you. You are to be different. You are to be different now. Harold Ockingay, a pastor of the Park Street Church out in, I think it was the Seattle area. If God has elected us, He has not elected us to remain sinners, but to become holy. It's an anomaly. Speak of those chosen by God living in sin. God never chose us to continue in sin. We are to continue because we were created in good works, which God has before ordained. He has given Himself for us that He might redeem us from all sin, purifying Himself a particular people. God has done this in our lives. If there's never been a change, I want to help you. You need to really think about, has God ever saved me from my sin? This is the plan of God. This is the chosen by God plan. To change you. He's adopted me. He's adopted me. Anybody here know someone's been adopted? I got two hands and a leg up. Okay. I don't know. I hit teenage years before I ever knew anybody that was adopted. And I found out, hey, my mom was adopted. When my mom's father took off, serviceman took a gamble on a divorced lady in the late 40s with a 6 or 7 year old girl who, according to all those involved, was an absolute holy terror, my mother, who was as unhappy about having a new home situation as she could be. And I'm thinking, I don't know anybody that's adopted. And I figure out, hey, look at that. Looky here. I called my grandfather, adopted my mother. And my eyes are just keen to it now. I think it's the neatest thing to choose someone and say, I want you. Be part of our family. I just love the idea. We've Americanized or Westernized it a little bit. It's not just that God chose us. That God chose us and He treats us like adults. That's really what adoption means here. He chose us and He treats us like an adult. You don't have a niece or a nephew. You don't have a 6 or 7 year old anywhere, but you would say, here's some stocks and bonds, and here's the keys to the car. Nobody in here would treat that much of a young person that way. Some of you are going, I wouldn't treat my 20-year-old that way. Well, that's a different story. It's all yours. The person who's been saved 20 seconds has all of heaven. They have all of forgiveness. They have all access to God. They have all access to the Holy Spirit. The person who's been saved 20 years has all access to God, all access to the Father, all access to heaven, all access to forgiveness, all access to the power of the Spirit of God. You immediately have the full privileges of being in Christ, and you are treated like an adult. You have been adopted. You're not waiting on anything. You have it now. He has blessed you, and He has adopted you. He has adopted you. One writer said it like this, telling a story. Said, I stayed with my parents. A young lady said, I stayed with my parents several days after the birth of my first child. One afternoon, I remarked to my brother, it was surprising that our baby had such dark hair, since my husband and I are both fair. She looked at her and said, well, baby, your daddy has black hair. Speaking of the grandfather. The daughter looked back with incredulity. Mama, that doesn't make any difference because you and Daddy adopted me. Wait for it. The mom blushed and said, Oh, baby. Forgive me. I always forget. There are no stepchildren. There are no orphans. There aren't. With God, He loved you. He chose you when you were in a mess in your sin. He has changed your life and cleaned you up. He's given you all the privileges of adulthood, the full inheritance, and He did it all for you and I to what? To praise Him. To praise Him. To understand this is to go, man, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. God's been so good to me. God's been so wonderful and fantastic to me in my sin, in my mess, in my disobedience, in my inconsistency. By the way, in the COVID era, aren't we all just gobsmacked and angry and crazy with people being inconsistent? Aren't we? Man, I can't do this, can't do that. Man, I can't come to church where everything's been sprayed and everybody's, you know, got some sense. But, you know, I go to Walmart and hang around with a bunch of people that I don't know. Inconsistency, right? That only bothers me. And, you know, inconsistency. But we, again, we have a rule. We don't smirk. We don't do the other. I'm not going to start. But, man, I like to point out inconsistency in other people's life, but I don't want anybody to point out the inconsistency in my life. Well, preacher, just stay away. Get real close to me. Don't do that. We were created to praise Him. Takeaway, I'm done. Right here. If that's the case, if He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, then we're asking for stuff we already have. My wife says jokingly, I have her permission. Some of you are curling up when I say that. My wife, I have her permission. My wife soon is going to be able to wrap her own Christmas presents and still be surprised on Christmas. At no point yesterday, less than three times, she lost her glasses and her phone. Occasionally, she put them together and still lost them. At one point this morning, she lost her glasses, coffee, and her phone. So, if you need anything forgotten or hidden from the IRS, give it to Andrea. And it'll be gone shortly. It just distracted. It's fine. It's no problem. Yet. Anyway, she forgets me. We're going to have a problem. Anyway, and we're there. And some of that's whatever it is. The funniest thing is when, have you seen my phone? Yeah. Where have you seen it? Look at 3 o'clock. And anybody here done that? Anybody here asked to look for glasses that were on your head? A few of you? I do this. I look for car keys that are in my hand. Where are the keys of the truck at? And Riley goes, I don't know, Dad. Are you having a moment? Are you being funny? You're trying to trick me? I don't know how to answer. You know? And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, thanks. Good job. Yeah, no problem, crazy man. And, that's all silly. That's all funny. Look at it again. If you belong to Him, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We pray for strength. We've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray for peace. He's already promised that peace He would leave with us, John 14. We pray for grace. We've been given grace. We pray for love. The love of God's been shed abroad in our heart. His divine power, 2 Peter chapter 1. Everything for life and godliness. We have been blessed by Him, and we ask Him sometimes, and we don't realize, man, it's in our hand. We have what we need. Well, I'll serve God when. I'll give more when. I'll sign up. You have it now. From eternity past, this was His plan for you. Wait for it. I'm done. See, our resources aren't just promised. They're currently possessed. We got it now. I've got what I need now to live for Him. I've got it what I need now to suffer for Him. I've got what I need now to witness for Him. I can belong to a group now. I can serve on a team now. I've got what I need to praise God. He's changed my life. He took care of my sin. He's changing my life. I'm growing in Christ. He loved me, knows me better than anybody else. Say, when this works out and this works out, I'll take care. You got the opportunity now. Now. Say, preacher, why don't you preach about current events? What better current event can I preach about than the person of God, the provision of God that ought to lead us to praise God? Man, you can praise God in a whirlwind and a storm when the world's upside down, then I think you got a good handle on current events. Somebody say amen to that. When we have these things, they are not just promised. They are possessed. Pray with me right now. Thank you for listening this morning, just for a moment. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We live like paupers.